is Jared of the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. Preds pregame starts in 30 minutes. I will say this, and I'm so excited for tonight's pregame against preseason game against Tampa Bay. I'm going to the Preds game tomorrow, but it's two tight Mondays have been cut short because of the Preds preseason. But you know what? That means hockey's right around the corner, and a lot of people today were saying after last night's game, when's hockey season coming? Because, well, they don't feel very good about the Titans after last night's game. Ain't that right, Floyd?
That's right.
Floyd is like standing up out of his chair. The microphone is like at the chair. And I knew I'd catch him with the little snap count. Which, by the way, the Jags took out like three snaps last night when the play clock was at zero. Just saying. Now, with that, it is a Titan Monday. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. But it's time for Floyd's three things, where Floyd tells us what he liked and what he did not like, the three things. So, Floyd, without further ado, let's start off with the three things you liked. We start, of course, with number one.
Number one.
This part of the program was hard today, finding some things that you like about that game. And it's really, as I look at my list, kind of sad. But I like the third down defense. They did a good job of holding them. I think they were like 1-for-10 or 2-for-10 or whatever it was. And did a great job on first down. They only had 12 first downs. And out of 12 first downs, they still ended up scoring 20 points, which is a little bit scary. But I think there were some stats that when you look at it, especially on defense, that were really, really good. I mean, stats that are easily winning games every place else in the league.
The third down defense, I thought the defense as a whole was pretty good. I also appreciated Byard. I don't know if you noticed this on that long run that they broke, which is a problem they need to get fixed. But, I mean, I think if your team was a team that quit, it would have been very easy to let Fournette run that ball in for a touchdown and just get on the plane and go home. And Byard ran his rear end down, and I appreciated Kevin Byard, the highest paid safety in the league, with that kind of hustle.
Number two.
Second thing for me was I thought it was kind of encouraging that we got Humphreys, Davis, and Sharp back in the game. They made they made some plays for us. And I think when you add, I mean, at some point in time, we're going to get all of these elements clicking. And hopefully it's sooner before, rather than later, and that you can really reap the benefits of all these things. But we were talking last week about Humphreys and Davis had really done nothing, and Sharp wasn't a factor, and yet all three went into this game, and all three made plays and down the field plays for the most part. That one catch of Davis's was pretty impressive, but Humphreys had like a 40-yarder and Sharp had like a 40-yarder, and so those are big plays, things that we were concerned about before, just Marcus getting the ball downfield, and we showed the ability to do some of that.
So I just never really, like, I agree with you, it's good that they got catches, but I never felt like they were a factor in the game, if that makes any sense. Like, I never felt like they made a difference last night in any way. But I know at this point you're really just looking for whatever you can say are three things you liked, and that's something, well, I guess I liked that. So I guess I shouldn't hold that against you or say anything. It just, even though Humphreys made plays, it didn't feel like Humphreys made any play that changed the momentum of the game or turned the tide of the game or anything like that.
Number three.
The third thing for me was Marcus finally showed the ability to throw the ball away. I mean, he at least twice could have easily had additional sacks or could have been forced to throw a ball into a crowd or could have, and instead decided to throw the ball away. And in both cases, it was a wise decision. So that element is back and hopefully healthy.
I can't say anything against that. You should have seen Twitter, though. They were like, Marcus keeps holding on the ball, taking sacks. I did not think it was nearly as egregious as last week against Indianapolis. Three down, which I'm going to guess was a lot easier for you than three up was. Three down, three things you did not like.
Number one.
Yeah, the first thing was getting off to such a bad start. And we talked about how the flow of this game was could easily be determined by one of the teams getting up by 10 or 14 points, and how that would literally affect the rest of the game. And unfortunately for us, that's exactly what they did. They jumped up to 14, and it affected everything we did from the standpoint that, they now were not as concerned about the run. You know, they were figuring, okay, if he gained a few yards on a run, who cares? But we've got to be sure they're not able to throw the ball down the field a bunch, you know, which means we've got to come across here and knock the quarterback down, and that's exactly what they did.
And I would say the other side of it was, you said they were going to do that all week. All week, you knew that's exactly where they were headed. What was the second thing, Floyd, Reese, you did not like yesterday?
Yeah, the second thing was the pass protection, which I think is obvious to us all. That's critical, and that's something that, you know, we have got to get fixed. And I guess from that standpoint, this extra few days of practice probably came at a great time so that they they're going to be able to spend some time on this, hopefully get some guys back healthy and patch up some of the holes.
But is that fixable in practice? Like when I was in high school, we at USN, we played our hardest, but we would play Brentwood Academy, and Brentwood Academy had better players than us. And we probably could have practiced every day and every night, and we probably still would have always lost to Brentwood Academy. I mean, isn't that kind of where the Titans' offensive line is? I know they get a couple extra days of practice, and you're saying, hey, they can get it fixed. Is it fixable with the group that they have right now?
Well, no, but I mean, hopefully with a couple extra days, we're going to get some of these injured guys back.
You're ready to rely on Nate Davis?
I don't know. I'm not even sure Nate Davis really exists.
He's as far in the Floyd doghouse as I have ever seen.
He's a ghost.
I can only imagine what it would be like to be in the Floyd doghouse when you're the GM. You know, the Darren Bates, Nate Davis doghouse. And Marcus is working his way towards the Floyd doghouse. I definitely feel that way. And the third thing you did.
Number three.
And the third thing, of course, were the penalties and the turnovers. I mean, it's, you know, that's two quickest ways to lose a game. And we all know that, and they all know that, and everybody knows that. And the penalties, to be honest, you know, I'm not sure you can blame. I mean, it's definitely their fault, but these officials, this was an awful officiating group. And there were two or three or four of those calls that were just horrendous. But there's never any excuse for turnovers. So, I mean, I don't care what happens. You got to prevent them from getting the ball.
There was only one turnover, right? The Jackson fumble?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so the penalty front, I'm conflicted on the penalties because we laughed and we joked and we had a good time when Cleveland committed 18 penalties for 180 yards and you won week one. And here you are committing 9 penalties in a game for 100 yards, and yet I'm kind of with you, right? Like, I'm kind of like, yeah, the penalties got to stop, and there were some penalties out there. But there was one play where Derrick Henry got 3 or 4 yards, and Jonnu Smith got flagged for holding. And I joked because I'm like, Jonnu held the guy and then didn't even block the guy from tackling Derrick. And then they show the replay, and Jonnu, the reason he was able to tackle Derrick is because Jonnu let go when he wasn't holding the guy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I can't be mad at Jonnu for that. Yeah. And I can't be mad at Sharp for his penalty.
Calls.
And I can't be mad at Logan Ryan for his pass interference penalty. When you looked at it, and Aikman is sitting there saying, what's this? Like, I can't be mad at Kamale Correa for his roughing the passer penalty. That was ridiculous.
And even Aikman, you know, former quarterback, didn't like that call.
Well, you saw who else didn't like it.
And so that was a mistake.
Well, you saw who else didn't like it. Brady. I mean, Brady goes to Twitter, and Brady's complaining multiple times. Brady said yesterday he turned the game off because of the penalties and how ridiculous they were. And I think the one where he said, I'm turning it off, was after the hold on Sharp, where he's like, I'm turning it off. Like, I can't watch this anymore. And that right there, you know, that got the attention of the NFL.
Oh, when that comes out, Tom Brady, yes, that'll get their attention.
So Vrabel said today the way that it works is you get 10 plays to send into the league. and then the league will send you back an explanation of those 10, whether or not they were good calls, bad calls, indifferent kind of calls, all that kind of stuff. They'll send it back to you, and you'll get 20 plays back. So you'll get your 10 plus their 10, and you'll get 20 for the game. And apparently that's new this year, is the way that they get back to you. Did you see Al Riveron's explanation for the Kamale Correa penalty yesterday?
No.
Made me want to throw up. It said basically that it was roughing the passer because Correa's helmet hit Minshew in the chin. And that therefore is forced to the head of the quarterback.
That didn't happen. He hit him with his shoulder. He caught him on the ground. I mean, that was an awful call.
But the point I'm making is that the NFL will go out of their way to kind of pretend like those calls weren't as bad as we thought they were.
Well, now, in my experience, if they blew a call like that one, they'll send you a note and say, that should have never been called. You know, sorry. Just about the time during the week I would get over my gut ache for these bad calls, I would get that, and it would make it worse. Because the two or three calls that really had a giant effect on the game were all bad calls. And so I got to the point where we just didn't send them anymore.
According to Al Riveron, in Tennessee versus Jacksonville, there was helmet contact to Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew's chin. Therefore, roughing the passer was called. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you really think Sean Hockley, from standing in the back, can see if the teeny little bit of Correa's helmet hit the teeny little bit of Gardner Minshew's chin? Okay, I thought so. And that's what drives me insane. And as I said last night on Instagram and earlier today on the show, Sean Hockley is giving Dad a bad name. He's like, you know, Babe Ruth Jr.
Need bad Dad back.
Oh, my God, I would kill for Ed Hockley back. Hockley is such a better ref than his son. At least when Hockley blows a game, you can see it on Hockley's face how much it kills him that he's blown a game. Talking about Ed Hockley. He blew that Denver game a handful of years ago with screwing up the clock or whatever, and you could tell it just killed Hockley that he felt that way. Floyd, time for a little Preds preseason hockey. Predators game day coming up next. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group and TJAndersonHomes.com. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators game day presented by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group at 615-221-4200 and do not get fat, cat, fished, Mr. GM.
What? I missed that whole thing.
Do not get catfished.
Unless it's on the ice.
There you go. Okay, all right. I was just a little slow today.
We're rusty.
It's that, and it's, you know, the Titans game. Everything's out. Predators tonight, 6 o'clock at Tampa. Now, I would state for the record this. Now, I'm going to the game tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. But, I mean, if this were like a Preds-Tampa regular season game, I'd say there'd be some real firepower out there for the two teams. But we start off with the coach's take, as we always do, powered by my friends at TJ Anderson Homes. TJAndersonHomes.com. Your road to real estate begins with TJ Anderson. Here's Coach Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, a chance to look at almost the entire organization. Only a couple guys will play in the back-to-back situation and left a lot of guys at home. We've got a good lineup in here tonight at Tampa, and there's guys waiting to play back at home. So, again, just getting through the preseason and trying to get everybody involved.
Floyd, good to hear Laviolette back again. I mean, we haven't heard from Peter in quite a bit.
It's been a while. This whole offseason, we're just now getting cranked back up. So, it's always good to hear from Peter.
Can I be honest with you? The other day, I go to the game, and we did the show from Pete and Terry's, or as I like to call it, Crispy Sports Bar and Grill. And we do the show out there from Pete and Terry's, And I am sitting up there with Robbie Stanley for about 10 minutes of the first period of the first game. And then I leave and go home and come back for the second game. And Laviolette's not on the bench. And then I go to the second game and I look down. And Laviolette's not on the bench. And I'm thinking, what's the coach not doing on the bench? So I asked someone from the press. He goes, where's Laviolette? They go, oh, he's up in the hockey ops suite where Poyle watches the game from. I guess he's watching it up there with Poyle. And I'm thinking, eh, whatever. You know, like, I mean, you know, could you imagine a football game and you got the...
No. Where's the head coach? He's up sitting with J-Rob. No, I can't imagine that.
Okay. So tonight against Tampa Bay, want to go over kind of the rosters, who's in and who's out. And I like who's in, and I'll be honest with you, because it makes me think that there might be good players that I want to see tomorrow that'll be in. Maybe the guys that play today won't play tomorrow. Just kind of the big names that'll play today. Ryan Ellis is going to play today. Kyle Turris, who needs to pay what he owes, including in the preseason. Kyle Turris is going to play. Nick Bonino is going to play. Callie Yarncroke, Mika Salamaki, Rocco Grimaldi. Ellie Tolvanen is going to play. Matt Irwin, Dante Fabro, Mikhail Granlund, and Freddie Gaudreau and UC Soros. So at least there's some good names in there.
Sure. I mean, some young guys that you probably look forward to seeing how they do, how they've improved physically, you know, on the ice, whatever. So that's, yeah, that's probably a good group to watch.
So Tolvanen will go. I watched Tolvanen in his first little preseason game. You know, he looks a little bit better. I guess with him, where I won't say I'm a little bothered, is when you're a great talent, which is what we were sold that he was, a true great talent, you may be not have the best technique or whatever, or may be caught with your pants down sometimes or your head up your rear end or something like that. But then sometimes you show flashes of, hey, did you see that play he made where he went cross ice and did such and such? And that, and I haven't seen that so much from Tolvanen, and I didn't really see that a lot on Monday. So, you know, I don't know exactly how I feel about
that. That's always scary, strictly from the standpoint when you have a young guy like that. I assume hockey's pretty much the same as any other pro sport, which is, you know, early in their career, you know they're not going to go out and play like a 10-year vet. You know that. So you say, okay, what are you basing your excitement on, your anticipation on? Well, you're basing it on flashes. You know, did you see what he did? Did you see that catch? You see that shot? Did you see that stop? Whatever it may be. And you look at that and you go, now that's a big-time play. And then you're hoping as he matures that he can get to a point in time where he can do that with some consistency. Then you've got a really good player.
So one of the roster battles I think is actually happening is Rem Petlick, who played one game last year out of college. You know, remember they signed him out of college and then he played the one game and then never played again. And Daniel Carr, who they signed the same day that they signed Matt Duchene. What?
Nothing.
And so they signed Daniel Carr. Remember they signed Duchene to like $56 million. They signed this guy to like $900,000. And Poyle's like, oh, I think this is just as big of a deal or something like that. I'm like, no, it is not, David. It is not as big as Matt Duchene. Well, anywho, they're both playing in this game. So we'll see. And Pete and Hal will be on the call. So we'll have all the latest from them. What are we watching for tonight at Tampa? 6 o'clock right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'll take this one.
Good.
And I will say anything power play related.
There we go.
I want to know about. Everything else in the preseason, as long as they come out of this healthy, like I know, even if Pekka gets lit up one of these preseason periods or something he plays, I'm not going to be worried about Pekka. You know, like Dante Fabro, I know that, you know, that's something people are going to watch tonight or care about tonight. And I get you on that. Now, you know, we'll see how Fabro does when he gets out. But I feel okay about Fabro. He has a bad game tonight. It's okay. But anything power play related, I will be okay with. I will, if they score a goal on the power play, oh, I will consider this game a success.
That'll be all the preseason a success. If you get one, so that'd be a good start.
Well, I guess Duchene came out the other day, and Duchene said, hey, I'm going to net front on the first power play unit, which I'm sure Laviolette just loves, by the way, is, you know, Duchene coming out saying, oh, me, I'm going to the net front on the first power play unit. And so people are saying, okay, so that means it'll probably be Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchene, and Josi will probably be the first power play unit. Well, none of those guys are playing tonight, which makes me think that they're going to play tomorrow night, so we would see that unit out there on the power play under the new power play coach. And again, anything power play related, I care about.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the real, if not the sore spots from last year. And everybody was griping about it. Everybody was talking about it in the offseason. So they go out and bring in a new coach who's supposed to help. And then, of course, they revamp, bring in Duchesne and do some things like that in an attempt to really, really crank that thing up.
Well, that's going to do it for us. Darren is ready to rock and roll with the pregame. You'll hear from Coach Peter Laviolette. You'll also hear from the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, and, of course, Hal Gill. That's all coming up next. Puck drop is at 6 o'clock. Jared and the GM, we're back Monday at 2. We got a loaded weekend. College football tomorrow. NFL, all coming up this weekend. Preds pregame is next. It's Jared and the GM. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.